Let us pray. And now, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our only strength and our only Redeemer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Please be seated. This past December 2nd was the 152nd anniversary of the founding of the Reformed Episcopal Church. On the day of our founding, the organizers adopted the Declaration of Principles. You can find the Declaration of Principles on the next to the last page in the Book of Common Prayer. They used to be on the first page, but that's another story. We don't need to go there. But the first declaration says, "The Reformed Episcopal Church, holding the faith once delivered unto the saints, declares its belief in the Holy Scriptures of the Old and New Testament as the Word of God and the sole rule of faith and practice. In the Creed, commonly called the Apostles' Creed, in the divine institution of the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper, and in the doctrines of grace, substantially as they are set forth in the 39 Articles of Religion." Notice again the first thing that is stated. The Reformed Episcopal Church, holding the faith once delivered unto the saints, declares its belief in the Holy Scriptures of the Old and New Testament as the Word of God and the sole rule of faith and practice. If you look at our denominational website, which is recus.org, you will find that under the authorities section of the website, the first one that is listed is Holy Scriptures, with a reference to 2 Timothy 3:16, which says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And then we read also in the Articles of Religion, which are the doctrines of grace, number 6 says of the sufficiency of the Holy Scriptures for salvation. Sorry about that. When I go to America's Keswick and somebody's phone ring during the session, Bill Welty, who was the president, says, "Thank you for the $500 donation." No worries. Anyway, article number 6, which is entitled "Of the Sufficiency of the Holy Scriptures for Salvation," says, "Holy Scripture containeth all things necessary to salvation, so that whatsoever is not read therein, nor may be proved thereby, is not to be required of any man that it should be believed as an article of faith, or be thought requisite or necessary to salvation." The Bible, the Holy Scriptures, the Word of God, whatever you want to call it, is the foundation of our faith. As the Article of Religion says, Holy Scripture containeth all things necessary to salvation. Now, this is emphasized in the collect for the second Sunday in Advent that was prayed a few moments ago. Blessed Lord, who has caused all Holy Scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in our Savior Christ. Amen. Do we realize how blessed we are to have the Word of God at our fingertips? Do we take advantage of that privilege, having the Word of God readily available for our reading and studying? Do we realize that people have died in order for us to have access to the Holy Scriptures? Now, the first thing that we must understand and acknowledge is that the Bible is the Word of God. It is not enough to say that the Bible contains the Word of God. Now, why do I say this? If we say that the Bible only contains the Word of God, it means at least two things. It means that not everything in there is the Word of God. And then if this is the case, then what you accept from the Bible becomes a matter of personal opinion or choice. In other words, we accept what we want to accept, and we reject what we want to reject, and there is no standard. If someone wants to believe in alternate lifestyles, that's their choice and their opinion. If someone doesn't want to accept that Jesus is God, that's their choice and their opinion. If someone says that Jesus was only a moral teacher, that's their choice and opinion. If the Bible only contains the Word in God, Word of God, because we can pick and choose what we want to follow. It also means that truth from God can come from other places and people, such as from church leaders or even those who are pastors and teachers. One large mega church with thousands of members has now said it's okay to have women pastors, which we believe is a contradiction to what is the clear teaching of Scripture. I have told you before that I was interviewed for acceptance at Reformed Episcopal Seminary. I was asked, "Do you agree to test everything that we teach by the Word of God?" I was examined by three men with about 100 years of faithful biblical teaching between them, saying, "Don't take our word for what we teach, but test what we teach by the Word of God." I ask you the same thing. Test what I teach and preach by the Word of God, and test whoever follows me by that same standard, the infallible Word of God, and ask the question, what does the Bible say? This year, 2025, is a year of jubilee in the Roman Catholic Church, which is supposed to celebrate the anniversary of the incarnation of Jesus 2,025 years ago. Now, this tradition is rooted in the biblical instruction of Leviticus 25, where a jubilee year, which was every 50 years, involved the canceling of debts, the return of land, and the freeing of slaves. There is no evidence that the jubilee year was ever celebrated by God's people, the Israelites. Well, currently in this jubilee year in the Roman Church, there are certain holy doors in St. Peter's in Rome and in minor basilicas, which are churches with special privileges granted by the Pope. And these doors are only open during the year of Jubilee. But during the year of Jubilee, the people are encouraged to either make a pilgrimage to St. Peter's in Rome, not us St. Peter's, just remember, get that clear, it's St. Peter's in Rome, or to the designated basilicas in their local diocese, and then they are to go through these doors. And Roman Catholic dogma teaches that by going through these doors and observing the sacraments and so forth, they will gain a plenary indulgence, which is a remission of the punishment of sins or a reduced time in purgatory. Now, if you remember your church history, it was the selling of plenary indulgences that was the trigger for Martin Luther to nail his 95 theses on the Wittenberg door. Because this teaching of indulgences is not only not found in the Scriptures, but it makes salvation a work of men. It makes salvation something that we do. As such, it is a clear contradiction to the teaching of scriptures that teaches us that salvation is by grace alone. We're familiar with Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And then it is the words of Romans 1 that was the scripture that set Martin Luther on the path to the reformation of the church, where he read, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." And so we believe, as stated on the day of our founding, that the Reformed Episcopal Church declares its belief in the Holy Scriptures of the Old and New Testament as the Word of God and the sole rule of faith and practice. We have God's Word, where He speaks to us and gives us all things necessary to life and godliness, as Peter tells us in his first letter. Peter tells us, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue." You've heard me say this before, that we live in a world that God has created, and He has given us the instruction manual, the Holy Bible, in how to live in this world that He has created and how to gain access to the world to come through the Lord Jesus Christ. Or as our colleague states, "so that we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which Thou hast given us in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen." I can give you all the statistics concerning God's Word. It was written by 40 different authors over a period of 1,500 years, so obviously the authors didn't know each other. But there's one theme from beginning to end: the redemption of mankind through the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the only way of salvation. I can tell you about all the times that Jesus quoted from what we know as the Old Testament. In fact, in our epistle lesson this morning, Paul quoted from Isaiah, among others, in Rome, his letter to the church at Rome. I can point to all the prophecies concerning the person and work of Jesus Christ from the Old Testament that were fulfilled in His birth, His life, His death, and resurrection. It's all there. And so we have God's revelation to us, which He has preserved for about 3,500 years or so, despite the many attempts to get rid of the Bible. Now, if anyone says to you that the Bible has contradiction, challenge them and ask them to show you one. If anyone says that the Bible is a fairy tale, ask them to prove it. So, as a pastor and as Christians, we accept the Bible for what it is, that it is God's Word to us and for us. As Peter also says, "For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty." And here's the important thing. Peter, along with John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then later Paul, were all eyewitnesses to the person and work of Jesus Christ. And that is what they wrote about. And that is what they all died for, with the exception of the apostle John, who they tried to kill, but they weren't successful. Now look how that our collect begins. Blessed Lord, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. But then we read verse 4 from our epistle lesson. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning. I love how our collects, and indeed our whole Book of Common Prayer in general, is based on the scriptures. And in this case, we have almost a direct quote. Quote, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning. I quoted earlier 2 Timothy 3:16, which is listed on our website. But I go on to verse 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? So that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. God has given us his word for our benefit. In the collect, we are given specific instructions as to what we do with God's word. Grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them. We see that five specific things are listed here. Hear, read, mark, learn, and digest what God has revealed to us, as the collect says, in his holy word. These specific things which we are to do, and they're really self-explanatory, indicate that God's word is something that should be part of our everyday lives, not just something that we put on for about an hour on Sunday. As a result of our hearing, reading, marking, learning, and inwardly digesting God's word as part of our everyday lives, then our actions and our reactions will reflect what we have read and what we have learned. And it will be a witness to those around us in our families and those we come in contact with. Why do we do certain things? Why don't we do certain things? Why do we get up on a Sunday morning and come and worship at St. Peter's? Why do we do and say certain things? The other benefit of reading and studying God's word is that it will help us to recognize false teaching, such as plenary indulgences. The U.S. Secret Service not only protects the president and other elected officials, it's also tasked with looking out for counterfeit money. Now, you probably know that they are trained to do this by studying over and over and over legitimate U.S. currency, so that when they see counterfeit currency, they can recognize it immediately. The same holds true for our faith and what we believe. If we know what is in God's word by hearing, reading, marking, learning, and digesting it, we will know when someone strays from the truth. We will know that when someone says that women clergy are acceptable, we can say, wait a second, that's not what I believe that the scriptures teach. So we see, my friends, the absolute importance of God's word and the blessing that we have in having access to it. And as we see, it not only benefits us as we live our Christian lives here on earth, it helps us to hold on to the blessed hope of everlasting life, as our collect says again. And remember what Peter says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ, our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. We know what awaits us. Tomorrow would have been my daughter's 40th birthday. and it'll be a little difficult for my wife and I. But we hold fast to that blessed hope that she is in the presence of her God and her Savior, that she has reaped the benefit of her faith, and that she has begun her journey into everlasting life. So I ask, do we take advantage of what we have? Is God's word a daily part of our lives? If not, I encourage you to begin making it an everyday part of your life, because in it, as I've said, and as Peter tells us, God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. We want to know how to live in God's word, God's world. It's in his word. We need to read it, study it, inwardly digest it each and every day, and then we will know how to act and react to the glory of God. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for the things that it teaches us. May we read it and study it every day and follow it, knowing that it's where you speak to us. And then as we speak to you in prayer, being filled with thy Holy Spirit, that you would reveal yourself more to us each and every day. And it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.